The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus said to the people, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds, because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. It's been well over a year since our congregation voted to gift the house we own next door at 132 East High Street to Safe Harbor. Getting to the point we can actually sign a deed to transfer the property has taken much longer than we expected. There were surveys to be done, dimensional variances to apply for, hearings to participate in, historical architectural review board approvals to be obtained. But we're almost there. After we finalize language for an easement for parking, we'll close, hopefully in the next 30 days or so. And then Safe Harbor will hold a wall breaking rather than a groundbreaking to kick off their demolition and renovation project. Safe Harbor has already been awarded close to $400,000 in grant money to fund the project. Hooray! Before too long, we'll have new neighbors. And three more desperately needed affordable housing units will have been added to Cumberland County's inventory. Notwithstanding the lengthy and sometimes perplexing process we've been going through, gifting the house to Safe Harbor was still a way better option for our congregation than keeping the property, raising or borrowing hundreds of thousands of dollars to make it habitable again, and getting back into the business of being a landlord. I mean, being a landlord is no fun. You have to employ staff or have reliable contractors who can respond to emergencies in the middle of the night. "My toilet is leaking. I have no heat." You have to do background checks and credit checks on prospective tenants and spend time and energy chasing down delinquent rent payments. You have to comply with state law regarding security deposits and eviction proceedings. And then there's the preventative and ongoing maintenance. We have enough of that to do in this building. The landlord in our parable from Matthew this morning is a bit more hands-off than most. I mean, he actually goes to another country after renting his property. It sounds as if the landlord's vineyard is in pretty good shape when he turns it over to his tenants. Vines have already been planted, and there's a fence, a wine press, and a watchtower. All the landlord asks of his tenants is that they fulfill their responsibility to share the harvest with him, since it is his vineyard, and they are simply its caretakers. But the tenants are awful. They don't just smoke in a non-smoking unit or bring bed bugs onto the premises or forget to pay their rent. These tenants don't just avoid the guy coming to collect the harvest and pretend that they aren't home when he knocks on the door. No, they actually become serial killers, seizing and beating and stoning one after the other of the landlord's slaves, and finally, in the most unbelievable act of all, seizing and killing the landlord's son. This is a terrible story. And the people around Jesus seem to get that. When Jesus asks them what the owner of the vineyard will do to the tenants who have killed his son, the people predict that the landlord will put the tenants to death and lease the vineyard to others who will give him the harvest he is due. You can almost hear the crowd saying to themselves, what other choice does he have? Yes, this is a terrible story. But Jesus wasn't pulling any punches at this point in his earthly ministry. For a number of weeks now, and for several more weeks to come, our gospel readings from Matthew include stories about Jesus being incredibly provocative and confrontational with the religious authorities, and some very pointed parables. These stories and parables are from the last week of Jesus' life, the time between his triumphant entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and that dark day later in the week when he is tortured and crucified. Jesus is in the final stages of his conflict with those in positions of religious authority, the ones who believed themselves to be right with God, keepers of the true faith, dedicated servants of the Lord. But these men are being publicly challenged and embarrassed, and they now know it. For we are told that when the chief priests and Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. Everybody else realized it too. The image of the vineyard Jesus used was a powerful image for him and everyone who heard this parable. They would immediately think of passages like the one our lector Sarah read from the book of Isaiah and all the other instances in the Hebrew scriptures where Israel is identified as the beloved vineyard of God, called to bear the fruits of justice and righteousness. And then they would have made the connection that the chief priests and Pharisees, the self-proclaimed beloved of God's vineyard, were being likened to murderous tenants who yielded not justice and righteousness, but bloodshed and cries, who failed to produce the fruits of the kingdom and to honor God, the Lord of all. They realized he was speaking about them. Of course, Jesus is speaking about us too. isn't he? Oh, sure. We like to think we wouldn't ever be like the chief priests and Pharisees. If we had been alive back then, if we had been there during Jesus' ministry, we would have gotten it, gotten him, right? We would have understood that Jesus was calling us to a new kind of life. We would have embraced the very radical message he was preaching. We certainly wouldn't have been like the others in the crowd that gathered later in the week, who cried out for Jesus to be crucified and taunted him in his last hours. Yeah, right. You know, part of our call as baptized children of God is to be honest about our sin, our brokenness, our failures. I mean, we are awfully good at messing things up in the vineyard we have been given to work in. Well, we might not rise to the level of the worst tenants ever from Jesus' parable, but we sure manage to come close. We don't properly care for the earth and the air and the plants of the vineyard. We treat our fellow laborers badly and fight over the vineyard's resources. We are selfish and greedy with the bounty of the vineyard while others hunger and thirst. And we fail to honor and glorify the Lord from whom all these good things come. But the amazing thing is, God never gives up on us. God keeps forgiving us, keeps feeding us, keeps calling us to repentance, keeps inspiring us, leading us, guiding us to bear good fruit. That is our holy calling, our privilege, our joy. Let's labor on. Amen.